Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, this is Jill, and welcome back to the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. How much fun was last night's game? I know it's been a little bit since I've been back, and I think this is the first pod I've actually will be doing since the Kings have won a game. And I actually got to see their first win last night. Well, at least my first win of the season last night with them. And I definitely would not, if I was picking on a, you know, the schedule, definitely would not have guessed that the first win I would see was from Cleveland, but I will gladly take it. And we will gladly send Luke Walton home from Golden Center with another loss. So let's get started. So we know officiating has been bad, and we just saw the 2-minute report from last night, and there was only one missed call, and it wasn't on the Kings. It was on Cleveland. So that just shows to me that Sacramento played a complete game and a clean game at the end. And what does a clean game at the end get you? If you're in the game, it got him a win. So, you know, that's kind of what was missing, was even from the Warriors game. You know, I know we're all frustrated with how that played out. And I think it's fair to say, you know, the Kings can blame themselves. And, you know, they also didn't get any help either. So, you know, they got penalized, and that wasn't their, you know, wasn't their fault either. So all we're asking for is a chance. But enough about that. Some fun stats from last night's game. The Kings starters had 12 steals, and every starter had at least two steals. Barnes had, I think it was Barnes had two, and I want to say Sabonis and Fox each had three. And then you had Keegan and Herder with two. And so if you're looking at cleaning the glass stats, everybody, all the Kings starters were in the high 80th percentile to 90th percentile in steals per game of what they did there. And what they did was they put every starter outside of Donovan Mitchell in blue when it comes to turnovers. They were all 30%, you know, or lower than the league average. So that was, you know, very well done, especially, you know, against the number two defense in the league. They kind of gave them a taste of their own medicine. And so what I really enjoyed was they came out aggressive. I felt like the Kings were aggressors from start to finish last game. And I think that, to me, that's the first game off the top of my head that I can say this season that I think this team was the aggressor from start to finish. It wasn't perfect, but it was just good basketball. It was good basketball. And man, it was just a lot of fun. And I mean, what they did from the 3-point line too is pretty crazy. And their accuracy, they shot, well, both teams really, both teams shot, over 40% from three. Kings shot, 60% from the corner three, 37.9% from the non-corner three, and that gave them 43.6%. You had Cleveland shoot 75% from the corner three, 38% from the non-corner three, and that gave them a 44% when it comes to the 3-point field goal. But I mean, both teams, so you can say, you know, both teams shot the hell out of the ball from the three. something that's different is to me, it felt like the Kings were getting killed at the rim. Kings actually converted a higher percentage of shots at the rim than Cleveland did. The Kings were 77% from the rim and Cleveland was 68% from the rim. And so, you know, even without a shot blocker, Kings did what they needed to do. I thought everyone did a good job of, as what does Mike Brown like to say, use your chest and not your hands. And their arms were straight up, you know, outside of Sabonis's early kind of fouls, which we know one was even a bogus one because Jared Allen jumped on his back and somehow Sabonis is called with a foul for blocking out. But outside of the beginning of the game, and Brown showed trust in Sabonis, which paid off. I thought the Kings did a pretty good job. They had their, you know, Cleveland went on their runs where I felt like they were, you know, there was that kind of some Olay or guys were rotating too late, but ultimately it didn't matter. In the short mid shots, Kings were not great. They shot 33% from inside the key area. And Cleveland shot 47%. But the long mid-range, Kings shot 50%. Cleveland shot 33%. And so when it comes into total for all mid-range shots, Kings shot 40%. Cleveland shot 44%. Now, something that is interesting is I talked about how accurate the shooting was for each team. Frequency, Cleveland didn't shoot it all that much from three, but when they did, they actually, you know, hit it. But the Kings shot 39 threes and Cleveland only shot 25, but the Kings made 17 of 39 and Cleveland made 11 of 25, which you almost think shooting at 44%, you should have shot more of them, but I'm glad they did it. And then when, you know, everyone says how the corner three, right, is the easiest 3-point shot because it's closer, King shot 10. So they were 6 of 10. And then I said how Cleveland shot 75% from that, but they were only shot 4. So they were 3 of 4. So, I mean, really good job on the Kings on, you know, whether it was playing good defense or forcing them to go, you know, more to the rim. It worked in their favor. The Kings were 93rd percentile last game in forcing a turnover, which is awesome. Not great in offensive rebounding, but they shot 30. Not great for offensive rebounding. They only got 13% of their offensive rebounds. Not great in transition. Neither team was all that great in transition, but the Kings actually on the off the live rebounds they got, they scored, which is awesome. And the Kings had 7 players in double figures. I haven't gone back and looked, but I would think that this might be the first time that we had 7 players in double figures, if I was to guess. So that's great. I mean, really, it was almost the Kings told Cleveland, make Donovan beat us. And, you know, he kind of came close to the end. But other than that, there were only 4 players on the Cavs that had that scored in double figures. So, again, kudos to the Kings for bringing it defensively. And props to, again, Trey Lyles coming off the bench. He was 5 of 9 and 4 of 7 from 3. I mean, that guy's just on one right now from the 3-point line, which we love. We love Chimezie Metu at center. I've talked about him on here where I would much rather see him play center than forward. I do think it keeps him more closer to the basket where I think he excels. His 3-point shot is just not there right now. And we even saw him be hesitant the other, this game. And so, you know, he's just playing well inside. So I do like, you know, that tandem right now that you can have Trey, be the floor spacer and Mezzi be the cleanup crew essentially, and get the alley-oops and keep making what he's doing. I thought Davion had a great defensive game yesterday, which was awesome, especially at the end when Fox was on the bench. He was asked to step up, and he stepped up, and that was huge. We are seeing the Malik Monk resurgence, and that is awesome as hell to see. He's been a blast. He's scoring, the assist, the playmaking he's making for everybody. He just looks really comfortable out there, and that's fun to see. And I do like that. And so he played 27 minutes, and I do like that we saw a good amount of minutes with Fox. Him and Fox have a really good, like both of them say, they can read each other without speaking. Similar to me, you're seeing that same kind of duo from Domas and with Herter. You're seeing a lot of their silent communication leading to buckets. And so I do like to see, it's fun seeing these different pairings, kind of break off as we're going. Keegan, you can just throw him out anywhere and he's a machine, and it's fun to watch. And I know, James has talked about this with D'Lo and KC, and he has some family stuff going on right now. And so, my love and prayers and all that stuff keeps going to him and his family while they're dealing with, all that stuff outside of basketball. And so I do feel bad that, it's not, that kind of stuff isn't easy for anybody offside, outside the court, let alone a rookie, who has a lot of expectations. And that's, at the start, and it's his first road trip and all this stuff's going on. Like he said yesterday, when he comes back to SAC, he feels like he's coming back home and just has that feeling. And so I loved last night's game for him. That had to have felt really good for him and his family. And so, love seeing that for him and him getting that, welcome back to Sacramento with all this stuff going on. And so, excited for him. Domas had a hell of a game too. And, he was bruising it up with the length and of Cleveland, which not many teams have done this year. And that was fun to see. And Harrison Barnes, who I've been really critical of, kudos to him. He showed up. He had by far his best game of the year. And you see how good this team is when everybody's on and when the wings are working, where, I want to say, was it the last two games that everyone kind of seemed on, but Keegan and Barnes were having these rough patches and the Kings were still in games, but look what happens when your wings show up along with everybody else. It was fun. And Brown, called a great game. I know he said Jordy called the same play like 15 times at the end of the game because it was working. It was keep doing it until they can stop it, and they weren't stopping it. And so kudos to Jordy there. And Brown, he would have taken a lot of heat for leaving Fox on the bench as long as he did if the Kings did not win. But they won. So, there's nothing even worth saying for me. Like for me, I don't even need to say anything. Everyone can think, what he should have done, but what he did worked. So, and I think he has shown that he's gonna, feel it out when it's with what's working, who's stopping who. And, at that point, Davion was stopping, Mitchell and Garland here at the end. I mean, what they did to Garland that game is they completely took him out of his game. He only had 6 points. He had one field goal and it was a three. He was 3 for 4 from the line, but no rebounds, which is crazy. Only 8 assists and had 4 turnovers. So, kudos to the Kings guards there, because they let Donovan go off, but when Cleveland has been beating teams, it's been the Donovan Garland show. And the Kings took Garland out of his game. And that was huge. And so credit to Fox, credit to Davion, and credit to Herter. And then add Monk in there too. But the four of them, they kept him out of his bag. And it was a lot of fun. And even giving, you know, Davion those extended minutes there. And then he also kept Monk in there because Monk was playmaking the hell out of the ball. Putting Fox in with the last 2 minutes, you saw how fresh Fox's legs were those last 2 minutes. And he was everywhere. He had the almost steal, had the great defensive play against Donovan, and then ended up tipping the rebound in the scrum to himself. And so, I mean, it's, you can say even doing, you know, keeping him on the bench a little longer was beneficial in that stuff. And so, kudos to the coaching staff, how they worked that, because, you know, it was a risk and it paid off. And that's all that matters this game. I think going forward, like I said before, he's shown that he's going to kind of feel it out. We might think that, you know, there should be a set closing, you know, lineup or whatever, but I also don't mind if someone's, you know, not on that game, you know, giving it to someone else, or if someone, you know, makes a bunch of stops on someone in a row, let them keep going. So again, kudos to all that. We have the Lakers up next, who are just, you know, free falling, and LeBron's now doubtful. But this, you know, if the Kings can get this one, you know, say they should get it, but I know that hasn't meant much in the past. But if they get this one, this would be huge towards bringing them, you know, one closer to being 500. But yeah, I would say after, you know, looking at the first 10 games, I mean, most of us would have taken, I think, a 4-6 record. But what's just frustrating is knowing, you know, based on what happened, you know, what the record could be. And so, you know, but that's, you know, part of being the Sacramento Kings and the extra uphill battle that they all have to deal with. And so, as Harrison Barnes said, it's making them closer right now. It's forcing them. And, you know, I think probably a lot of us kind of had that feeling that after that Barnes foul, you know, the and one that was overturned, where the ref under the basket called the block, called the and one for Barnes. And then Mr. Sideline, you know, ref comes running out of nowhere and says, you know, overrides it and says, you know, no. And then you see Coach Brown try and challenge it, and then it's not challengeable. I think a lot of us probably had that, oh God, here we go again. Like, right. Cleveland, I don't know if, I think they had gone back up at that point. And it was just like, you know, I think we were down four, and that would have put us in within one. If you made the free throw. So it was, you know, here we go again feeling. But the Kings, they said not today. You know, that we're not giving this to you, ref, and we're not letting you take this from, you know, take from us what we've been doing all game. And from then on, they went on a run. And so, like Barnes said, that it's kind of been almost a uniting factor to them of, hell no, you know, you're not doing this again to us. And so I love seeing that fight, and I love seeing it pay off. So just excited to see it keep going. I agree with, you know, what Coach Brown is doing with the rotations right now. As much as we love Rashawn Holmes, it wasn't working. And that's not to say it can't work or it won't work, you know, during the season. We don't know what's going to happen. But for right now, I do like that he's saying, I can't wait. We have to show some urgency. And he's going with what's working. And so, you know what, next week, maybe something's not working and he's going to have to go back to something. But like he keeps saying, it's that next man up mentality. It's a long ass season, and we're going to need every single one of you at some point. We're going to need you. And so stay ready. And stay as a group. And so, so far, it's been a lot of fun. And I think you would all probably would be agreeing at this point. Excited for this Lakers game. And if they can get another one there, we'll be even more excited. But that's it for, you know, I know it's kind of a short one, but really it's just a quick post game, seeing what's going on. You can probably kind of still hear it in my voice, but outside of my travels, I've been sick and trying to get better. And so between work and doing all this stuff, I'm still trying to, you know, find my groove between my new job and this, trying to find my new groove. So thanks for bearing, you know, sticking with me. And as always, go Kings.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.